Tonight, we are on page 49, chapter 8, the General Service Board in the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual. To get us started, I will read from page 129, Appendix O, Bylaws of the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Incorporated. As Bill W. explains in the article, Service, Our Third Legacy, see Appendix A, the General Service Board, the trustees, was originally known as the Alcoholic Foundation, with bylaws as broad as the continent. When the corporate name was changed to General Service Board of AA, new bylaws were needed which would reflect more clearly the scope and direction of Alcoholics Anonymous. The new bylaws adopted in 1957 are the work of the late Bernard B. Smith, noted international lawyer, long a non-alcoholic trustee, chair of the board from 1951 to 1956. Bern Smith composed the bylaws out of his great love and respect for our fellowship. They contain both the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. They are good reading for all AAs and friends of AA. Please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks. Let's see, gallery view. Billy Alcoholic, hello everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone also read the chapter, because I can do a lot of things, but I cannot read the book for you, as you know. So I hope you've read a lot of it. I'm just going to give a hint or a suggestion out there in case you're doing presentations in the future. While our current service manual is 100 times better than the past, there's no doubt about that. As far as readability, user friendliness, doesn't look like it's some book that was found in a box that's 50 years old. It has some great diagrams. If you are presenting or doing a presentation at a district or an area or somewhere, or even working with your sponsees, whatever, visual is a lot easier for people to grasp usually than written. It just is. And color coding really helps that. I'm going to throw up a chart. It's not an official AA chart. It's not even one that I did. I did not make this. But someone I know did. I kind of like it because it's color coded. So was someone going to read the – did we do that? We did do that? Yeah? I thought Brooke just – okay. We didn't read it. Okay. We can read it now. There's no loss. We're fine.
Want me to read it? I'm sorry.
I'll read it because usually we have a reading every week. That's okay. I know what I sent in to be read. I'll read it. That's fine. It's fine by me. So what I had picked to be read was the top of the section of Appendix O, which is the bylaws of the General Service Board. And I'll read that. It says, it's on page 129 of the service manual. As Bill W. explains in the article Service, Our Third Legacy, see Appendix A, the General Service Board, the trustees, was originally known as the Alcoholic Foundation, with bylaws as broad as the continent. Oh, no, we did read it. So we did read it. Okay, we're good. Sorry, folks. We read that. So put that chart back up. Here's the complicated thing that everyone needs to understand. When we are talking about the General Service Board and next week our affiliate service corporations, The collision of spiritual versus legal is great. And so some people don't care. Other people really care about the details and understanding. Like we have the spiritual side, but what's the legal side? I'll try not to insult either side, the side that wants to dig down or the side that only wants a little. I am myself a past trustee. But let's just look at this screen right now at the top. The AA General Service Board of Trustees. You will see seven Class A's in blue. Those are our non-alcoholic trustees. You will then see 14 Class B's and different shades of color, three different shades of light from pink to orange to almost red. We have three different types of alcoholic trustees. Now, to confuse this even more, the bylaws, which if we were going to read all them tonight, we'd need 3 separate weeks to do a session on the bylaws. We now have a Class B chair of the General Service Board. See, since the Alcoholic Foundation, we had, before we changed the name, we had an alcoholic chair. But since we've changed the name in 51, it's always been a non-alcoholic. And it's been one of those seven in blue. Now, one might say, if we make one of those seven the chair, why don't we have bring on another seventh A? The reason we do not do that is because do the math on a calculator. Right now, it's two-thirds alcoholic to non-alcoholic. If you were to bring in an eighth Class A trustee, because the chair was also a Class A, then it would be offset 14 to 8. It would not be two-thirds. However, the bylaws have a provision that if a Class B chair was chosen, that we could put a seventh Class A on the board. Because we now have 15, not 14, Class Bs, because the chair is a B. But so that's going to happen. We're going to select another A, and next year we will have 22 trustees. That can only happen when the chair is a B. That's it. We always say 21, 14 14 alcoholic Class B, 7 alcoholic Class A. But we're not going to now for a couple of years. What's interesting about this is, and I'm wondering, I don't know what their plan is, a Class A term is 6 years, 2 3-year terms technically. But what happens, the chair term is only 4 years. What happens if, while there are seven Class A's and one Class B and 15 Class B's, what happens if the next chair selected is a Class A and it's not someone who's currently a Class A? Then the mix will be out of balance. It will not be two-thirds, one-third. So that is something the board's going to have to think about, you know. I'm not sure what their plan is, but it's definitely something they're gonna have to think about. So, next to the Class A's, we have the eight Class B regional trustees. Next to that, we have the four class the two four general service trustees, Class B. And then we have the two trustee at lodges, Class B. So we have two types of trustees from 100,000 feet. A and B. And then there's one kind of A and one kind of B. And three kinds of Bs, sorry. Now, the legal makeup of the board. So I hope everyone can get a view of that. I think we're going to put the document in the file. We used to have the General Service Board be the legal owner of those two service corporations. How does that look legally? Back when that was the case, the owner of the AA Grapevine Inc. and of AAWS Inc. was the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous Inc. They owned 100% of the stock. Those two corporations are no longer subsidiaries. That was changed for a bunch of legal reasons under New York state law. So, could you put that chart back up again for a second? So, across the bottom, you see AA World Services and AA Grapevine. And below them, you see the directors of their board. Okay? Below the General Service Board of Trustees, you see those 21. Technically, we call them trustees, but they are directors of that corporation. They are corporate directors. Who owns all of these? So, the 21 individual trustees, they own the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc. They are a membership corporation under New York State nonprofit law. It's like each of them was given a 1/21st piece of cake. They have their 1/21st. They're the owners. And they're also the directors, all 21 trustees. AA World Services and AA Grapevine, the owners of those two corporations are those same 21 individuals. So no longer the General Service Board of Trustees. So let's use me as an example because examples sometimes work best. I became a trustee in 2013. So that means I served 13 to 14, 14 to 15, 15 to 16, and 16 to 17. I served those 4 years, April of 2013 to April of 2017. When I became a General Service Trustee, I was a director on two of these boards. I was a member and owner of the General Service Board, but I was also a director of that board. I was a voting member of that board. I was a member of the AA World Services Board and the AA Grapevine Board, meaning I got to vote for their directors. But I was a director also on the AA World Services Board. I was not a director on the AA Grapevine Board. However, I was a member, an owner, if you like that word. That becomes very, very confusing. Most Class A trustees only serve on the General Service Board. There is one that sometimes serves on the Grapevine Board. For the last 20 years, they've put a Class A on the Grapevine Board. There is no Class A on the AA World Services Board. How do these 21 people keep control of these two independent companies, AA World Services and AA Grapevine? Well, even though we elect the directors, at least four have to be trustees. Usually each board has two general service trustees and two regional trustees on the affiliate boards. What's the real difference between a regional trustee and a general service trustee before we get to trustee at large? Well, regionals are elected by the region at the conference. This year, the Southeast region this fall will be, each area will be submitting one nomination to be the Southeast regional trustee elected at next year's conference in April. If you're a regional trustee, you serve all 4 years on the General Service Board, but your middle 2 years, year two and year three, you serve on one of the corporate boards also, either on AAWS or the AA Grapevine. The current regional trustee is Tom H. for the Southeast. Tom is in his fourth year. So right now, he's only on the General Service Board. In his first year, he was only on the General Service Board. In year two and three, Tom was also on the Grapevine Board. Because regional trustees, their middle 2 years, serve 2 years on one of the affiliate boards. Class B trustees are elected at the conference. How does that look? All the delegates in the region get to vote. And then an equal number of members from two committees. The trustees nominating committee and the trustees and the conference committee on trustees. That's who. So if you had 14 areas, you'd also have 14 people from those two committees, seven from each. That's how that works. General service trustees are kind of an anomaly. The people with real way out conspiracy theories think that this is where the board controls people with robots. Obviously, anyone who knows me, I kind of blow that theory out of the water. I don't agree with anyone just because they're my friend, or I don't vote anywhere just because of whatever. But general service trustees, you have to have been a non-trustee director on AA World Services or the AA Grapevine. A non-trustee director is selected by those boards for their business experience and their AA service experience. But general service trustees have to bring a particular business specialty to the boards. The board has 4 out of 21 who they know have business experience, and usually 5, because the treasurer of the General Service Board usually has business experience as well. General service trustees have to have been a non-trustee director. When there is an opening for a general service trustee, AA Grapevine or AAWS, will nominate a past or present non-trustee director to be a general service trustee. That has to be approved by the trustees nominating committee. If it's approved by the trustees nominating committee, that name goes on the slate at the general service conference for the conference to approve that person. Then we have trustees at large. Now, here's something unusual before I move on about general service trustees. They serve 4 years on the General Service Board, and they serve 4 years on the affiliate board that they're on. So for me, I served 8 years on the AA World Services Board, 4 as a non-trustee director, and 4 as a trustee director. And I served 4 years on the General Service Board as a trustee. trustees at large, one for the United States, one for Canada, those are elected by the conference as well, like regionals. It's a little different. There's a little nuance between the U.S. and Canada. In the United States, each area can nominate one person. Does not have to be a past delegate, by the way, to be the U.S. trustee at large. Sometime before the conference election, it's usually the day before, that Tuesday, at a luncheon for the region. The region, by third legacy vote, will pick one candidate out of their region to be in the election the next day. So that's the first step. Once your area nominates you, the region then decides which one of the people from the region goes to the full conference. At the full conference vote for U.S. trustee at large, who votes? Here it's a little different. It's every delegate in that country, and then all members of the trustees nominating committee. And that's a third legacy vote. For Canada, it is almost the same, except each region gets to put forward two names. So, trustees at large deal a lot with, there are delegates to the World Service Meeting. Every structure is allowed two delegates to the World Service Meeting. Ours are our trustees at large, usually, unless one of them is sick or unless a spot is empty. The trustees at large serve on the International Committee and chair the International Committee, the Trustees International Committee. The trustees at large do a lot of international travel. When other structures invite a representative of ours to their celebration, their anniversary, their 25th anniversary of AA in whatever country it is. The trustees at large also go to some zonal meetings. If you're not familiar with the World Service Meeting, it happens every 2 years, and every 4 years it's in New York. So it goes New York, and in 2 years, somewhere else. It travels around the world. It could be in South Africa. It could be in Poland. It could be in Ireland. Then 2 years after that, it's back in New York. And then 2 years after that, it's somewhere else around the world. That's the trustees at large. The Class B trustees, who are regionals and trustees at large, do not need business experience. They need leadership experience. They need AA service experience. General service trustees need some kind of business professional experience and AA service experience. It's very common for a Class B general service trustee not to have been a delegate. I was a delegate, but not every Class B general service trustee is a delegate or was a delegate. Class A trustees, they come in all walks of life. We'll separate the treasurer out. Obviously, that's somebody who understands business and accounting and math. But the six other spots, they're your usual suspects of people who in their professional life run into people like you and I. They're judges. We run into judges. They're social workers. We run into social workers. They're wardens. We run into wardens. They're probation officers. We definitely run into probation officers. They're doctors and psychiatrists who deal with alcoholics in their practice. They're clergy. God knows how many members of the clergy have alcoholic, you know, members of their faith community who come to talk to them about their problems. And even though it's not a requirement, it's very common that some of these Class A's, besides being in a profession that runs into people like us, they often have a relative or a close friend or somebody that is sober and in recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. Class A's serve an important function because while I can be interviewed as a Class B trustee by the press, the radio, I can't use my last name and I can't show my face per the 11th tradition about our public relations policy. So for that, we can use Class A trustees so their faces don't have to be, digitally altered. We can show their last name. They can show their professional experience and that they are a big supporter of Alcoholics Anonymous. Class A trustees are selected a lot like general service trustees. A letter goes out to the fellowship, and an announcement is put in box 459. And I think now on the meeting guide app, too. And areas can nominate a non-alcoholic, send it in to the trustees nominating committee, or anybody could send it in, doesn't have to be an area. The trustees nominating committee, I was the chair of the trustees nominating committee at one time. The nominating committee will go through all those resumes and give them a rating, a numerical rating. And then they'll all get together. And they'll kind of see which resumes got the best ratings. And they'll come to an agreement on which candidates should be interviewed. If there's one spot open, it's usually four. If it's two spots open, it's usually six or seven. Those candidates are invited to the January board weekend to, be interviewed, number one. And number two, we allow them to attend the entire board weekend and trustee committee meetings so that they can get a feel of like how we operate. That weekend, the trustees nominating committee will have a third legacy vote and come up with one name as to who will be a Class A trustee. That name will be forwarded to the full General Service Board. If the General Service Board approves that name, then that name will go on the slate at the conference to be approved by the conference. So, very different ways of how people are elected. I'm going to stop there for some questions. I see some are already there. Are Class A trustees nominated? Yes, I think I just kind of answered that, but. Yes, they're nominated by individual members of AA, by groups, districts, or areas. But the trustees nominating committee does review all those resumes and they decide who to interview. So if you've read ahead a little bit, just give me one second. What's the job of the chair of the General Service Board? Well, take it from someone who's been there. It's no different than the chair of your group or your district or your area. Their job is to keep a tent around the trustee circus. That's it. Just like at a home group, your job is to keep a tent around the home group circus, be more concerned with how the meeting operates. Then, with giving your own opinion, keeping the meeting on track, making sure that everyone gets equal amounts of time to discuss. The chair of the General Service Board is always a past trustee. It can be a current as long as they've served or in their last year as a current trustee. We do have this thing called trustee emeriti. Those are past chairs of the General Service Board. They have no vote, but they do have a voice that they're expected to use not all the time. They're really there for institutional history. I am not anti-trustee emeriti. Full disclaimer, because I have made a motion to limit them. So that's in the records if you are a good reader. I just think $60,000 a year for trustee emeriti is a little bit more than we can afford these days with the state of our financial affairs. But sometimes the trustees emeriti serve a very good purpose of maybe remembering why we did something or remembering the discussion that took place on a vote. Trustee emeriti get to attend the board weekends and the general service conference as a non-voting observer and participant at the conference. At board weekends, at trustee committee meetings, they can share. Technically, at the conference, they are one of the observers approved. So technically at the conference, like the archivist or like the publications director, if somebody has a question that they want directed to them, the chair has to ask that person to come to the microphone at the general service conference because they've been approved to be there as an observer, not a participant. The General Service Board has 15 committees. This is the perfect example of the short form of the ninth tradition. You know, AA as such should not be organized, comma, but we may have committees. Yeah, the front lines of AA might be pretty disorganized, but the trustees have 15 committees. Archives, Peace, Cooperation with Professional Community and Treatment, Corrections, Finance, the General Service Conference, International, International Conventions Regional Forum, Literature, Nominating, Public Information, Audit, Compensation, Legal Affairs, Employee Retirement, Retiree Medical Benefits Fund. So I get this question all the time because the conference, as you know, has 11 standing committee, 9 standing committees, but 2 secondary committees. People ask, do the trustees have any secondary committees? Not officially. However, the audit committee, the compensation committee, the legal affairs committee, and employee retirement and benefits, those are like extra assignments as a trustee. It means you already serve on 2 or 3 trustee committees and you serve on them. When I was chair of AAWS, I was a member of the nominating committee, the finance committee, the audit committee, the compensation committee, the legal affairs committee, and the retirement committee. Those committees are all around the business structure of the General Service Board, AA World Services, and AA Grapevine. The other committees work as committees, and the board does its work in committees. There's another reference here to another different type of person that I don't, if you read it, I don't want to skip over it. I actually have been one of these too. It's called an appointed committee member. So I was a non-trustee director from 2009 until 2013. I was a trustee from 2013 until 2017. From 2004 until 2008, I was an appointed committee member on the Trustees Corrections Committee. Appointed committee members are different than even non-trustee directors. An appointed committee member is only a member of that trustees committee. Not all trustees committees have appointed committee members. It's for when you need usually alcoholic members with service experience who have a particular experience The committees that usually have appointed committee members are literature, corrections, cooperating with the professional community, and treatment accessibilities. Like I was, since I was sober as an inmate, I was an appointed committee member with another past delegate when they were re-editing inmate to inmate and selecting new stories. The literature committee needs appointed committee members because of the unbelievable amount of reading that needs to be done. You know, these are people that don't get enough credit. They're treated as second or third class citizens for sure, even though Bill W. says there should be no second class citizens. But these are the boots on the ground doing a lot of the work on these committees. The CPC committee now has a couple of military personnel or former military personnel because they're in the middle of doing all these recordings and podcasts for veterans and military. So they brought on two sober, longtime veterans of, I want to say they were each in a different branch. One was definitely from the Navy. I'm not sure where the other is from. But that's an appointed committee member, and an appointed committee member only has a vote at that trustee committee. They don't have a vote on the General Service Board. They're not allowed to go to other trustee committee meetings as observers. They do go to the General Service Conference. Remember when we talked, if you can remember, 3 weeks back, the first day of the conference, there is a joint committee meetings, the trustees committee and the conference committee. And they don't do business there. That's where the conference committee can ask the trustee committee questions. Appointed committee members get to go to that meeting and get to go to the opening dinner, but then they are discharged home on Monday. They are not voting members of the General Service Conference. They have never been approved by the General Service Conference. How do you become an appointed committee member? Vacancy announcements go out to delegates and are listed in box 459 and on meeting guide app and on the website. You send in your resume. The chair of that trustees committee and the staff member on that assignment will interview the people they decide to interview from the resumes. They will make one recommendation to the full trustees committee. The trustees committee will approve it. If it's approved, it goes to the full to the trustees nominating committee. And if approved there, it goes to the full General Service Board. Let me just see if a question came in. So somebody just asked, how long have they been around? They've been around 40 years or so. Do they have a change? Yeah. So it used to be a 4-year term as an appointed committee member. But it's really four 1-year terms, and it's very popular now that you don't get an automatic 4 years like a general service trustee does or a regional trustee or a non-trustee director. If you're brought on because of the work of a special project that's given the committee a lot of work, when that project is over, they might not need the next year an appointed committee member. That's how that works. There's some talk here in the back about special events, regional forums, local forums, World Service Meeting, Meeting the Americas. So that's kind of like a good, if you play Jeopardy at your assembly, everyone wants to know why Rodella is spelled Rodella, because it means Meeting of the Americas, because that's the acronym in Spanish. That's why. The Rodella. The reunion of the Americas, whatever. The World Service Meeting I already went through. Regional forums is basically where the General Service Board, the AA Grapevine Office, and the General Service Office come to your region and put it on display. It's kind of, without insulting anyone, saying a traveling circus. It's not that it's a circus, But it is kind of like a Noah's Ark where you had two of everything, right? Except at a regional forum, we bring one of everything. We bring a general manager. We bring an AA Grapevine executive editor publisher. We bring a regional trustee. We bring a Grapevine director. We bring an AAWS director. We bring a trustee at large, depending on if it's America or Canada, to give an international presentation. We bring a Class A trustee. And the chair of the General Service Board goes to every regional forum. If you've never been to a regional forum, I'll just give a plug. I think it's sad that most groups can't afford to fully fund the GSR. When people yell at me and say, oh, Billy, you're always saying there's too many meetings that are groups, it's not because I don't like meetings. It's not because of that at all. It's because if every meeting tries to have a GSR, there's no way that that meeting or group can afford to send the GSR to every assembly, to the regional forum, or to the regional service assembly, to PRASA, SARASA, SASA, NARASA. These things definitely cost money to go, but if you've never been to a regional forum, in my experience, when you hear people talk about getting really hooked into service, a regional forum was a big part of it. That they had never met a publisher before. They'd never met a general manager. They had never met a Class A trustee. They never had time to have a cup of coffee with somebody who they just hear about the bottom of the triangle, like, you know, that there are all these people like wearing long robes, you know, with staffs walking slowly, right? At a regional forum, you can definitely meet them on a one-on-one in-person basis. The next Southeast Regional Forum, since this is a district event in Area 15, I'm not picking on anyone else, but the next Southeast Regional Forum, you can go to the AA.org website. It is in Mississippi, Biloxi, in December. The Southeast Regional Forum is usually every other December. But you want to get on there and get a room. You want to look for travel arrangements. But I assure you, it is something you don't want to miss. There's a lot of focus on first-time forum attendees. There's a lot of sessions where you can speak about what's on your mind in AA or ask a question, and they will ask the proper person from the Grapevine, GSO, or the board to come up and answer it. But I can't stress enough how important it is to go to the regional forum. People ask me all the time, first of all, they'll say, what do I think is the number one quality to be a trustee? Now, first of all, I am not doing this thing tonight because I want any fame in AA. That's just, that might have been the case 20 years ago, but I assure you, there's a long queue in my TV watching that I am not watching right now, okay? I'm just letting everyone here know. I rotated out as a trustee at a very unusually young age compared to most past trustees. And I just know that it would be a crime to not pass on what was freely given to me to other people. So when people ask me, because I know somebody here is going to be a trustee, maybe more than one of you. Somebody here, more than one of you, are going to be delegates, which is awesome. But when people ask me, what's the number one requirement to be a trustee on the General Service Board? Like, what characteristic do you really need? It is very simple for me. It is not to be the smartest person in the room. I'm a big fan of that saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. It's not who's the smartest. It's not who knows the concepts and traditions the best. That's important. It's super important that you have a home group and you're a regular active member of Alcoholics Anonymous with a sponsor who's sponsoring people. That's super important. But probably the most important quality, if you're thinking about being a trustee, is if your daily peace of mind and serenity depend on you getting your own way, then I'm going to tell you not to become a trustee. I'm going to tell you to find another type of service to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, because you're just going to be frustrating yourself. There are going to be times when the vote is 20 to 1 and you're the one. I'm not sure what's worse. I think votes on the General Service Board are like Little League games. You'd rather get blown out than lose by one, right? Like when it's 20 to 1, fine. 20 people disagree with me. That's fine. But when it's really close and my side loses a vote, then it really stings. Then it really stings. But the job of a trustee, you know, I hear all these theories and conspiracies. Yes, your job is to be a fiduciary. Yes, your job is to watch that money. And yes, your job is to hold the general manager and the executive editor publisher of the Grapevine accountable. It's a very strange position to be in sometimes, because I know for me, all of a sudden, I'm the boss of two people that I have admired and looked up to my whole service career, especially when I became chair of AAWS. And sure, that's your job, but your job also is to be an ambassador of goodwill. Your job also is to, when you're out in the fellowship and the district and the areas and your local meetings, is to be a goodwill ambassador, the best representative of the General Service Board and the office you can be. And that means that people are going to ask you hard questions. If you've read Concept 9, it also means that people are going to ask you ugly questions. If you've really read Concept 9, it means that they're going to gossip about you. They're going to be malicious. And the thing is Concept 9 reminds us that regardless of how malicious and how ugly, we take the high road. You thank the person for their question, for loving Alcoholics Anonymous enough to ask the question. But it is so important that our delegates and our trustees are goodwill ambassadors of our structure that make people want to be part of the service structure, not want to run away from it. So that's it. I am going to open it up for questions. Please send any questions you have. When does the nominating committee reject the nomination that a committee approved? So I'm going to try to answer this question slowly, so I don't I'm going to use non-trustee director as an example. So let's say AAWS. Over the summer, AAWS will interview non-trustee director candidates in person, usually at the October AAWS nominating meeting. They'll approve the person they want, and they will send it to the full AAWS board that Thursday or Friday before the October board weekend. The affiliate board meeting is usually on Thursday or Friday. If the board approves it, it will be sent to the nominating committee, which meets that Saturday of the board weekend. If the nominating committee approves it there, then it will go to the General Service Board for that Monday full meeting of the General Service Board. For a non-trustee director, there would be two places where the committee's recommendation could be not approved. It could be the full board of that corporation, or it could be the trustee's nominating committee. For a Class A trustee, it would be usually in January. The nominating committee on that Saturday, they usually hold interviews on Friday afternoon. That Saturday, an executive session would have their third legacy vote. They would then take the name they recommend and they would present it to the full General Service Board for that Monday in the January board weekend meeting. The General Service Board then could approve it there or reject it. Every step of the way, as you're getting approval, it could be rejected. Oh, this is a great question. What was the most challenging experience you faced when you were a trustee? There were quite a lot of them, to be perfectly honest. One of them is definitely the 75th anniversary of the Big Book. Some of you might be familiar with that kind of, our critics would say, fiasco, I guess they would say. It really wasn't a fiasco. We decided to print the first edition Big Book for the 75th celebration. The publishing department has a very complicated inventory system with algorithms that are built in that tell us when to order and not order, depending on the inventory. That all makes perfect sense. Unfortunately, the 75th anniversary Big Book was put into the inventory system like it was a regular book, not a special item. And unfortunately, when they said order it again, they ordered another $1 million of that book. And, you know, it was a big learning lesson for me as far as, you know, transparency and accountability. Because I was the chair of AAWS who went to the conference and we did a whole, I don't like to say investigation, but we had a committee together of lessons learned to make sure this doesn't happen again, number one. But at the conference, I had to stand in front of the conference and say the buck stops here. We as the AWS board take responsibility. We don't need to point fingers. We've worked on a way to make sure this doesn't happen again. And not everybody was satisfied with that answer. So that was challenging for sure. The second would be our ERP system. As you know, we went out to RFP in 2018, and that was because of some legal issues that we got into with the old RFP vendor, ERP vendor, who was not doing what they said they would do and threatened to even shut down our system or not support it anymore. And so I went through a time of the general manager retiring, the CFO retiring, replacing the outside IT consultant. There were definitely some challenges. But all great learning experiences that I would not give up. The 75th anniversary taught, most importantly, is the biggest mistake we make in AA at all levels, district, area, conference, the boards, is being afraid to admit we did something wrong. And it's like we've been raised up in service to believe that. Which kind of drives me crazy because the very nature of our entire fellowship is built on the premise that until you know what's wrong, you can't fix it, right? I mean, that's our entire premise for the most important reason that we exist. I think sometimes people just want to think like, I find a lot of, for me, because AA is not political, is not religious. Religion has infallible leaders. that are right no matter what. If they say it, that's all that goes. And I take a lot of comfort that we're not supposed to be infallible. In fact, we're fallible. Most of these AA problems, I'll end here, Brooke, is that it's like the outside world. Whether you read books, watch the news, listen to podcasts, I don't care which of it is, usually it's not the crime that's the most bad issue, it's the cover-up. Usually it's not what happened, it's that people were afraid to admit that it happened or honestly talk about it. And in the regular world, lessons learned is how companies get better. But I appreciate that question, whoever asked it. That is a great question. The last question I'll answer quickly. What can we do for the next decade to revisit the way we are structured to better serve more demographics? That's a great, great question. I think we have to decide, number one, we serve alcoholics. That's number one. Number two is, okay, if we serve alcoholics, who aren't we reaching? The membership survey can tell us who we're not reaching. And can we do something to reach those parts, groups, marginalized groups, non-marginalized groups, minorities, genders, whatever, that we're not reaching? How can we better reach them? And we should never be afraid to ask that question. We should never be afraid to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, could we do something better or different? But thank you for that question. All right, Brooke, sorry I went 3 minutes over.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.